Inside Lacrosse Podcasts, the source of the sport.
What's up, lacrosse world, and welcome to the IL Preps Podcast. I am Dan Abern, Digital Media and Recruiting Coordinator, joined alongside by Jeff Shannon. Jeff, first thing we are talking about today is the Hill Academy and their trip to the East Coast. A bit of a newsworthy one.
Yeah, so we're putting together our Under Armour Inside Lacrosse Top 25 yesterday, and it was intriguing to look at where Hill fit into everything. Ultimately, they made the biggest jump. They were 6 2 weeks ago, dropped the 14th at their last Tuesday's loss to St. Stephen St. Agnes. They come back really strong off of that loss. Last Wednesday, they played Calvert Hall, who at our time was number two in the nation, to a 6-5 overtime win. Kind of really tough, rough and tumble game. Dan and I were both out there. A lot of media just in general tricking out these two top, you know, roughly top five teams at the time. Came down to an overtime goal by postgraduate Billy Coyle. Billy had played at Malvern Prep before, and then I think he's doing a year here with the Hill Academy before heading off to college. Nice little cut from X to score the game-winner goal for Hill Academy. They followed that up with a big win over one of our more intriguing teams in the top 25, Bullis, Maryland. Bullis has sort of a stacked all-star lineup of offensive talent. Hill Academy kind of played straight up with them. I think from what I followed, held a Connor Schellenberger, one of the top recruits of his class, to just a little bit of offense, and they were able to put up 11 goals for an 11-4 win. So a couple big top 15 wins for Hill coming back off that St. Stephen's St. Agnes loss, and you move them up to 4-1 and number two in the nation. So a really good game. Dan, what were your impressions from Hill when we were out at that game?
Well, interesting game in that Hill Academy looked really flat the first half, and then they just made all the adjustments that they needed to and absolutely dominated the second half. I believe it was 5-2 at halftime, and they score the next four goals to win the game. So I thought in the first half, you know, they've given up some looks. Their goalie was getting shelled from the interior of the defense. They were also accruing a lot of penalties, and man-up opportunities were plentiful for Calvert Hall. In the second half, I thought they just made the right defensive adjustments, started giving their goalie better shots to look at, and then the offense really got going. Dyson Williams, I thought, really kind of was like the key playmaker. He's a Duke commit. In that turnaround, there's a nice behind-the-back feed to a finish by Dyson Williams right on the crease. Check out that highlight. It was pretty sweet. Overall, though, I feel like I have a lot of impressions for Calvert Hall, too. I was really impressed with the athleticism, especially on the defensive end. I think they've got three defenders who are all committed to ACC or Big Ten schools. Lots of North Carolina, Ohio State commits. And then the goalie was excellent, Dara. He had a huge game and was really frustrating those snipers on the Hill Academy. I just thought that he was a big reason why they went into the half with only two goals on their slate. And also, they just got a ton of athletes on the offensive end, too. Cole Herbert just looked like a different human than the last time we saw him in the fall and in the summer, where he was playing club ball. Just looked like a completely different type of athletic specimen. I think he'll just be a playmaker for them down the road. But this is definitely a really nice win and a really nice follow-up win with the Bullis win for Hill Academy. I think after the STSA game, we were a little concerned that maybe this team wasn't as good as we had thought, but then they turn around, beat our number two team, and then they beat Bullis pretty handily. So as a team that's for sure talented and probably worthy of that top five ranking.
Yeah, it's funny. This whole run for them, you know, you start off with that loss to for St. Stephen St. Agnes, which I kind of want to get into a little bit when we look at the rest of our top 25 and the whole sort of D.C. region right now is kind of crazy. Kind of want to chat about that a little bit. Looking at that area, we mentioned kind of trying to figure out where Bullis fits in, where St. Stephen St. Agnes fits in. After that win over Hill Academy, Stephen State Agnes lost one to in-state rival Norfolk Academy, 11-10. So that kind of goes, well, okay, where did they fit into everything? Bullis's loss was a big one. Unfortunately, they had a game scheduled against McDonough this past Tuesday, I want to say, that got canceled because, I don't know if anyone, you know, if you're in the Mid-Atlantic, we got hit by a nor'easter, this past week. So that kind of threw a big monkey wrench into a lot of different games to this past week. So kind of it created some stiltedness in the rankings a little bit. I think, you know, a win or loss in one of those games, either way, would have helped kind of clarify a couple things. So we still have Bullis ahead of St. Stephen's Day Agnes for now. They will play again at some point this season, and they got a lot of common opponents, so that'll iron itself out. And then Landon sort of makes its way back into the top 25 with an impressive win over a strong St. Mary's team out of Annapolis, who have who've had big wins so far this year. So yeah, the whole DC region is kind of crazy right now. Just looking at it, I mean, we mentioned Landon. They have Joey Epstein. They struggled in a game against St. John's DC, who was last year's WCAC
champion.
From what I know, they play a zone defense, and that can kind of throw off some offenses every so often.
One team we haven't mentioned is DeMatha, who seems to be quietly making some noise. I know we really had them on the border of our top 25, and this is a team that has really impressive athlete Garrett Ledman, who was a Navy to Duke switch. You know, some people say, like, ooh, kind of looks like, you know, Paul Rabel in a way, with just the way he's built as a human and the way he just delivers the ball. He can really sling it. So that's a team that I think is also someone to watch. You know, DeMatha, it's been a little quiet ever since Rabel left, but I think this is a squad that might put them back on the map.
Yeah, it's interesting just looking at some of their results. They are 3-1 right now. Their only loss is a one-goal loss to St. Stephen's Day Agnes, so their only loss is to a ranked team in our top 25. A couple other offensive guys, Evan Ostrowski, I want to say he had 4 goals in a big game recently. Cam Liddig, Josh Brannon, just a lot of offensive power on a team that, it's funny, if you go back 15 years ago, again, during Paul's reign with them, they were awesome, and then Gonzaga comes up and dominated that league for basically a decade, and then now you've seen a little bit of competition in that area again among Gonzaga. They still have Jack Myers on their offense. Should be good. They have a lot of important games coming up in terms of out-of-conference schedule, but league-wise, they should still be very competitive. You have St. John's, who made their push last year, and then you have DeMatha resurging in the WCAC. Another team to watch in that region, we mentioned Georgetown Prep is 2-2. It's interesting. Other games, they've either won by one goal or lost by one goal. And so some good talent there. A lot of talent I remember seeing on the summer circuit a lot of times. That was really young in terms of the talent that stood out. I want to say 2020s, 2021s.
Yeah.
So I'm not shocked that they're doing they're competitive with these teams. You know, a little experience here and there gets you 4-0, you know, maybe 3-1. And Scott Urich is in his second year there, kind of, again, establishing his own style with that program. So really kind of competitive area. And don't forget, I mentioned St. Mary's. They've been playing a lot of teams strong. A team I almost forgot about, but Riverside out of Virginia won the 4A state championship last year. They have one of the better offenses in the country at high school with Danny Maltz and Mitch Belke. With and Taylor Musa at Colgate. That's Maryland, Ohio State, and Colgate offensive trio on there. So it's interesting. I remember at the beginning of the season, I was thinking Philly was one of these areas where you had a lot of talent spread out across teams. And I think you still will see that a little bit once they get going, although Haverford really kind of made the run early as the big team there. But D.C. has been competitive. I'm looking forward to get down to some of these games. One of my favorite trips in the spring is to jump on the MARC train and hit Gonzaga, which is literally 3 blocks off of Union Station, and check out some of their out-of-conference competition, which we'll get to in a little bit. But just kind of a fun, competitive region early in the Mid-Atlantic here, and a lot of good lacrosse we've seen, a lot of good lacrosse to come.
Let's give a shout-out to our sponsor, Trimeno, real quick. Protein is an important part of any athlete's diet. Supplement your protein diet without excess calories and fat by giving Trimino a try. Go beyond hydration with Trimino protein-infused water packed with protein and B vitamins to sustain your game. Trimino has 7 grams of whey protein, no sugars, no carbs, no fats, and only 28 calories. It is the perfect post-game drink. Trimino can be found at CVS, local retailers near you, and always on Amazon. Protein never tasted so good.
I'd go for a Trimino right now. Get my protein strength back after a crazy week here, shoveling snow and just kind of handling. And again, a lot of teams have had to deal with that this week. Games canceled, schedules flexed around a little bit. It's tough to have something like this hit you late, and it throws a little bit of the schedule off. But again, a lot of good games coming up. I want to take a look at the IL, Under Armour Inside Lacrosse Regional Experts Poll rankings. Some interesting stuff happening nationally. We're not quite Mid-Atlantic. Again, we've talked a little bit about that. Northeast and the Midwest are just kind of getting going. But some fun stuff in the West and the Southeast. Joining the top 10 this week in IL West is Coronado. They're off to a 3-0 start with big wins over Lawrenceville, New Jersey, St. Ignatius Prep, California, and Poway, California. I remember that. I think that was a 13-12 victory for Coronado there. So just a good run there. Coach Alex Cade and that squad have always been one of the more competitive teams in the San Diego CIF. And I believe they still have a big recruit in Nick DeMeo.
Yep.
On that team. His brother is at Maryland.
Yep.
These days, Nick was also a hot recruit and really just puts the ball in the net is kind of his MO. He's still committed to Boston U.
Yeah, he's just a tremendous all-around lacrosse player. I remember seeing him at the Legends National Cup out in December, and after a while playing midfield and attack, he got bored and decided to play LSM and just was causing turnovers all over the field, slinging from outside. So this kid's definitely a player, and you mentioned his brother is actually out in California right now, Maryland taking on North Carolina in the Pacific Coast Shootout on Saturday. He was the most prolific scorer in the history of California lacrosse. So Nick's got a lot of got some pretty big shoes to fill there, but yeah, he's well on his way to having another stellar career for DeMeo. One game that you did not mention that in the rankings was Regis Jesuit, a rivalry with Cherry Creek. Regis Jesuit won 13-12. That's a huge game out in Colorado.
Yeah, that was that happened Wednesday evening, so our rankings come out, and then that game happened. Cherry Creek is the defending champ in Colorado. Regis is one of their big rivals. Huge game, one goal win for Regis. It's not surprising. I actually wouldn't be surprised if this is the first game of a rematch situation for these two programs coming up. Southeast, again, a lot of lacrosse happening here. They're sort of in the thick of things in places like Florida, yeah, and Georgia, and Texas. A lot of lacrosse going on. Really surprising result. And I try to get a little bit more into it, looking at what was going on in the Southeast. But we talked about it a little bit this last week. I was mentioning Lambert is our number one team in that region. Really just strong start for them. Centennial had been one of the other big Georgia teams in that area. A lot of high-profile talent on Centennial squad. Final score of that game was Lambert 15, Centennial 4. Lambert just did a great job of holding the ball, keeping it on the offense, and really jumping out to an early lead that was hard for Centennial to get back into from everything that I read about this game. Gerald Kane, a High Point commit, had 6 goals in this contest. It's really good talent. And a sort of a shocking result in this contest between these two Georgia powers. So it sets up for another Georgia team, Lovett, coming in. They're 6-1, have a lot of decent talent, especially in their 2019 class. Cooper and Charlie Higgins, midfield goalie, Miles Bowman, they're all committed and have pushed the Lovett team to 6-1 on a strong schedule.
Another huge, I guess, an upset out in the Southeast is Ponte Vedra losing to Bishop Moore 7-6, and Bishop Moore 9-1. Their only loss is to Oxbridge Academy, so they've got a tremendous resume going for them.
Yeah, they're a big offensive team right now. The Ponte Vedra score sort of belies what they've actually done, which is put 12, 13, 14, 15 goals up on teams elsewise. It's sort of an interesting competitive situation in Florida right now. You have Oxbridge that is just kind of working its way through Florida just with a lot of really good talent. Struggled a little bit against MIA teams this past week. There's also that traditional run that some of the spring break, through spring break, that some of the MIA teams do, Boys Latin, McDonough. But outside of that, Oxbridge has been the team to beat in Florida so far. But then there's a couple of teams nipping at their heels. Ponte Vedra has been one of them. Bishop Moore is becoming one of them. St. Thomas Aquinas is still hanging around in Jupiter, Florida, out of the Tampa area, is another team. I think their only loss is to Oxbridge. So, it's kind of what we've wanted to see out of states, which is you go from one powerhouse winning state championship every 2, 3, 4, 5 years to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 programs all kind of nipping at each other's heels. And so within that, Bishop Moore makes a run into the top 10 in the Southeast. So, a lot of competitive lacrosse, a lot of big matchups that have happened in that region.
Before we move on to games to watch this upcoming weekend, let's give a shout-out to our sponsor, Sideline Swap. Sideline Swap is where lacrosse players buy and sell their gear, shop heads, helmets, shafts, and gloves up to 70% off, or snag hard-to-find college or pro gear. All purchases are backed by Sideline Swap's buyer guarantee. So head to sidelineswap.com, that's SIDELINESWAP.com, or download the iPhone app today to get started. I know I've been out, the weather's starting to get nice, so I've been out shooting a little bit. Really need some new gloves. They've got holes in them, and it's right on, the hole is right on my thumb where it kind of, slides up and down along the sticks. I've been getting some really nasty blisters. So I'm going to look at some gloves on Sideline Swap this weekend and see if I can snag a new pair.
Dan, we got some good games to watch coming up in this next week. Again, barring any other snow events in the Mid-Atlantic region, but also nationally, some good games to watch. I mentioned Coronado making their jump into the top 10 this week. They have a undefeated Colorado Academy coming to visit them. That's a Thursday night game, March 22nd. Interesting sort of game to kick off the Northeast season. Chaminade, New York, is scheduled to play McDonough School, Maryland, at a neutral site in Pennsylvania up at Episcopal Academy. Good start. Again, two top 25 teams. It's sort of a rare matchup that's probably procured a little bit by both teams making halfway point.
Gotta love a Baltimore versus Long Island matchup.
That's classic old school matchup between two really strong programs. I'm really looking forward to seeing what the results are and hearing any reports that come out of this game. And then arguably the most important game in the West is happening on March 26th. We mentioned Regis Jesuit getting the win over Cherry Creek in Colorado. That sets them up to be the number one team in Colorado at this current stage. They will be facing the number one team in California and a top 25 opponent in Torrey Pines. That is a huge Western matchup. And really should dictate a little bit of what's happening in not just the regional West rankings, but also the top 25. I'm looking forward to hopefully even finding a stream in this game. It's one of the more important matchups that high school lacrosse in the West has seen in a while. Go ahead.
Another huge development is that Culver's long anticipated trip to the East Coast is coming up. Culver, our number one team, absolutely outstanding talent. They've got a massive slate while they're here. Friday, tomorrow, they play Episcopal at 4 p.m. Saturday, they play at Haverford at 4 o'clock. Monday, they play at St. Paul's in Baltimore. Tuesday, they play Gonzaga. Wednesday, they have off. And then Thursday, March 29th, they play at McDonough. That's an insane amount of games against an insane level of competition in such a short amount of time. That is incredible.
Yeah, Culver, at the end of every season, you look at Culver's run, and it's like 22 games, 24 games. And they are setting themselves up to play another schedule like this. They always like to make this run in March, late March, play some really top quality competition. I'm hoping to get out to at least one of those games that are in our region, either St. Paul's or McDonough, or even making the trip down to Gonzaga. A lot of quality lacrosse there for the number one team in the country. They also have a lot of Midwestern games that they're going through, and then they'll play in a couple postseason competitions that we talked about earlier in one of the earlier podcasts as well. But just a lot of lacrosse coming up, and some really fun matchups that they'll get to play. That Haverford game is huge. That Haverford game, if you remember last year, was the reason they weren't the number one team in the country.
Yeah.
They struggled a little bit against, I think the faceoff guy was Joel Truxas at the time, and who just had a good day going against the Academy, came down to an overtime victory, and was the one blemish on an otherwise stellar record for Culver, and kept them just behind our co-number ones last year.
Yeah, so I think they'll definitely be bringing some intensity in that game.
Yeah, that's out of these games, that one looks like the highlight for me. I think that's going to be just a really intense, important game for both programs on a certain level. I think Haverford had a little bit of a chip on their shoulder coming into this season, feeling that, you know, they're either underranked or not ranked nationally. We had them at 23rd, and now they're in they've jumped up to top 10 already. I think a win over Culver would signal, hey guys, like we're here, we're ready to roll, we're a top 5 team. So it's just a lot of important lacrosse coming out.
Yeah, and I feel like if they go 5-0 through this slate, they may not lose that number one ranking for the rest of the year.
It sets up, I looked this up, it sets up for a, if everything stays the same, April 22nd, they're scheduled to play Hill Academy, which to them is a national championship game for both programs. It's such a big rivalry because there's so many Canadians, so many guys that played.
Yeah, which nation are we talking about, Canada or America?
There's so many guys that play against each other in Ontario and those areas. So if Culver goes undefeated, they kind of go into that game, or even one loss at this point, kind of sets up that for them and Hill to be really battling it out for it, a huge important game for those teams. So it's interesting. A couple other notes. It's fun that we've been following a lot of different scrimmage camps that have been going on this past week. If you want to check out some of the reportage on that, our guy Tommy has been down in the Arizona area working with Trilogy Lacrosse. He's been seeing a lot of good sort of preseason lacrosse among a lot of top programs in that area, and he's been posting his reports. He was there last week, he'll be there this week. And then also 3D Rising, Casey Vach, has been in Florida with some of those teams getting prepared for. I couldn't tell if it was mostly scrimmages, but also there's a little, like a game or two, I think, that was also part of the schedule. No, IMG Academy played Everest Academy in a wild game. I think the final score was IMG 22-11 over Everest. So a key game for the Ascenders down there. So a lot of fun lacrosse and in the anticipation of some important games. Oh, one game I forgot on the games to watch. Brunswick School, a number 4 team in the country, plays Landon, or is scheduled to play Landon this week as well. So just a ton of lacrosse. I always love this time of year because you get all these fun out-of-conference matchups. Yeah. In April, it's also fun. It's not the old-school rivalries. A lot of regional people really fighting for those titles. But this is the fun, you know, tit-for-tat comparisons right now.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I'm actually going out to that Arizona thing as well. I'm going to California for the Pacific Coast Shootout tomorrow, and I'm swinging through to Arizona for Trilogy's spring break. Lots of teams from the West region, Pacific Northwest, California, some Arizona schools as well. So I'm excited to go see what that's all about. I've heard weather's really nice, so that might be that might be a relief for me. But that's all we have for the IL Preps podcast this week. We will come back next week. Of course, if you like the podcast, please subscribe, leave a rating, leave a comment. Thanks, guys, for listening. See you next time.